So this morning, I'm continuing with an overview of end times events, especially events, or not events, but scripture, where it teaches us what end times events is all about. You have to put it all together in order to be able to understand it very well. So today we'll continue with the Olivet Discourse. This is the teaching of Jesus regarding the end of the world that was given on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. There are two other key passages that help us to understand the end times events that I mentioned last time. And this is a question I have for you this morning, and maybe we'll leave it just at the beginning for those that are 20 years old and under. What are the other two? Today we're going to look at Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, but what were the other two passages that are important in understanding end times events? Anybody? I spoke about one the last time. Which book from the Old Testament? Larry? Daniel? And what's the third one? It's the last book of the Bible.
Revelation.
That's right. And now another question. Where in Daniel do we find the historical timeline of the 7 years of tribulation spelled out? Which chapter in Daniel? It's Daniel chapter 9. Chapter 9, in the very end of the chapter, the last four verses, spells out the historical timeline of the 7 year tribulation. All right, so the last time, the three that we talked about, that are key to understanding future end times events were the book of Daniel, the Olivet Discourse, and the book of Revelation. It helps us to get a better understanding of end times events when you study all three passages together. The Olivet Discourse is Jesus' response to the disciples' question about the destruction of the temple at the end of the age. Matthew 24, 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the disciples then seemed concerned about this, so they asked Jesus for clarification. And in verse 3 he says, And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? So they asked him when this will happen, and what will be the sign of his coming at the end of the world. Jesus answers and provides a concise and comprehensive overview of end times. Matthew 24 moves from the run-up to the future tribulation to the 7 year tribulation itself, and then to the second coming of Christ. Verse 4 indicates his motive, that they would not be deceived. Matthew 24, 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus here shows his concern that we could be deceived as the end times approach. And so it is important to keep an eye out for the signs that he is going to be giving us. He gave these signs to us so that we would avoid being deceived. Do not be deceived by the messages that we hear in our world today. Where do these messages come from? They come from various sources. They come from the media. They come from our governments. They come from social media. All these are certain to be involved in deceiving the population as we approach the end. Rather, keep a watchful, skeptical eye on what is going on, and keep God's word at the forefront of your lives. Verse 5 to 14 lists 8 key signs that point to Jesus' return. The first sign is false Christs. Matthew 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So I looked and searched out and tried to find a list of folks that have claimed to be Christ over the last few centuries. This is what I came up with. In the 17th century, there was one. In the 18th century, I came up with two. In the 19th century, I found that there were 7 that I'm aware of. In the 20th century, there was 26. One example from the 20th century is Sergei Torop. He was born in 1961, a Russian former traffic officer who claims to be reborn as Viserion, Jesus Christ returned, which makes him not God, but the Word of God, also known as Jesus of Siberia. Torop has an appearance similar to the depictions of Jesus that we see in the Bible. He dresses in all-white flowing robes and has a long brown hair and a beard. This is Sergei Torop. And so far in the 21st century, there are nine that I'm aware of. There is likely more. But here are a couple of examples. Apollo Quibbley, born in 1950, is the founder and leader of a Philippines-based restorationist church, the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Name Above Every Name, Inc. He has made claims that he is the appointed Son of God. And then there is Gabby Hanna, born in 1991, an American internet personality and singer-songwriter, went on a multi-post rant on TikTok in August 2022, claiming to be the second coming of Christ. Now, there has definitely been an increase in recent history of folks claiming to be Jesus. This is a sign that we see developing before our eyes. And Jesus will mention this again further in his Olivet Discourse. Four other signs we can see in verses 6 and 7. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, and earthquakes. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. So I'm aware of over 50 wars and skirmishes that resulted in multiple casualties in 2022 alone. Some of these have been ongoing for a long time. Some of them have been shorter, but examples, I'm sure you are aware of Ukraine. There's fighting in Myanmar, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, Nigeria, etc. There's about 50 that I could find from 2022. There are also many rumors of wars that we hear of today. Significant recent examples are Taiwan and China, Poland and Belarus. North Korea is always threatening. There's issues in Niger and South Africa, etc. Regarding pestilences and famines, there actually has been a decrease of famines or famine mortality worldwide in recent history. However, we're beginning to hear talk of looming food shortages again. So this problem is expected to increase in the coming years. This is related to the deception that is mentioned earlier. How so? The war in Ukraine is causing some of these fears, since Ukraine produces a lot of food. In Belgium, they've been in the news lately, as well as France and Germany. But Belgium is one of the most productive farms, has one of the most productive farms in the European Union, and they are being threatened by their own government to shut many of them down. Various governments in Europe, and really around the world, are either in the process of or currently threatening to cripple their farmers. There are attacks all around the world, including here in Canada, by our own government, no less, to reduce farm outputs by reducing fertilizer inputs and returning farmland to nature. Keep this one on your radar. So-called climate change is the excuse that is being used to implement these drastic and destructive policies. If you are watching closely and with discerning eyes, you will note that climate change agenda is completely made up and being used to justify policies that will impoverish and control us. Regarding earthquakes, the following chart is derived from data from the U.S. government that gives us an idea of increasing incidents. This is from 1901 to 2011. A lot of increase of strong earthquakes of magnitude greater than 6 over the last 100 plus years. It seems like there was an especially large jump in the 1950s. So as you can see there in the 1940s area, there was probably an average of 50 earthquakes over 6.0 on a yearly basis in that time frame. But then in more recent years, we see that there's been as many as 200 in a year, and probably averaging around 150 earthquakes of magnitude over 6.0. Persecution. Matthew 24, verses 8 to 10. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So Jesus says that these things are the beginning of sorrows, indicating that there will be an increase in intensity or frequency as the day approaches. There will be Christian persecution and general persecution. You see this becoming more prevalent. Christian persecution is especially bad in Islamic nations, like Nigeria, for instance, we prayed about this morning, Northern Africa generally, North Korea, China, India, much of Asia, etc. Over 5,000 Christians were killed in Nigeria in 2022 alone, as was reported. Where are we here? This is supposed to... Okay. I had a link to an article, but anyways, this article basically said it was for persecution.org. It said that in Nigeria, there was about 5,000 killed in 2022, and there were about 3,000 that were abducted, and nobody knows where they are. So even here in Canada, there was general persecution by a government to those who protested government actions. For example, there were four political prisoners in Alberta that had been held or have been held without bail and without trial for over 700 days. You wouldn't think this would happen in our own country, would you? Two were released a couple of weeks ago after a plea deal was reached where they admitted to some relatively minor offenses, essentially confessions under duress. During the so-called pandemic, many pastors were either jailed or fined heavily for meeting in their churches as Christ commanded us to do. All the while, liquor stores and big box stores were allowed to stay open. We've also seen around 100 churches in Canada burned down or vandalized over the last couple of years since the unproven claims of mass graves and residential schools were made. False prophets. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So it says here that false prophets will arise. I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but there seems to be a lot of false prophets that have arisen lately. If you have your eyes open, you'll see it. For instance, I heard one recently prophesy that Rachel Notley would win the recent Alberta election. She did not win that election, so this would have to be a false prophet, would it not? I've also been hearing of prophecies indicating that there'll be a large worldwide revival shortly. If we are truly in the end times, my Bible tells me quite a different story, as we will see in the next verse. Lawlessness. Matthew 24:11. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall grow cold. This doesn't sound like a big revival to me. This is not to say that there won't continue to be pockets of revivals around the world here and there, but there will not be a whole worldwide revival as some of these prophets are prophesying before Christ returns. There's going to be an increase of iniquity, sometimes translated lawlessness. If you haven't noticed this in North America, I'd say you've been living under a rock. I'm sure you've witnessed in recent years violent protests and rioting in Europe, Belgium, France, Germany, USA, and even in Canada. I myself have witnessed a group of thugs rioting and breaking windows in Vancouver while the police let them do it. In South Africa, farmers are being killed as if they were animals while the government turns a blind eye. There is the rise of sexual perversions. Gender confusion is being encouraged and promoted in our schools. Many more examples could be cited, but I'm sure you've seen and heard a lot of this for yourselves. worldwide preaching of the gospel, Matthew 24:4. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is an interesting one. Due to technology and our ability to travel great distances in a short period of time, the gospel has indeed been preached around the world. Having said that, I don't think we will see a complete fulfillment of this until the tribulation period, when the 144,000 witnesses, an angel, and two other witnesses preach the gospel during the great tribulation as recorded in the book of Revelation. For example, Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. I believe this is when this prophecy will be ultimately fulfilled, during the tribulation itself. There are 8 key signs that show Christ's coming is approaching. Again, these are the beginning of sorrows, sometimes compared to birth pains, where these events increase in volume and intensity until the end comes suddenly. It is a warning for us to be ready. Are you ready? Now, verse 15 takes us into the middle of the tribulation period. The abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15-20. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now, I think this is specifically referring to the nation of Israel and the land of Israel itself. So Jesus now takes us to the middle of the tribulation period. The events here are being stated in chronological order. Jesus references the book of Daniel that I spoke about earlier, and specifically chapter 9, verse 27 here, where it talks about the abomination of desolation. And we looked at that briefly last time. The Antichrist will desecrate the rebuilt Jewish temple with an image of himself. This will be the beginning of a very terrible time from the middle of the Great Tribulation period. This underscores the need to compare various prophetic passages in order to obtain a clearer understanding of end times prophecies. It also speaks of the abomination of desolation in Revelation as well, which, Lord willing, we'll look at next time. So Jesus then goes on to describe how horrible this time will be. He also reiterates the warnings of false Christs and false prophets that we talked about earlier. Proclamations of false Christs will be very common by the time the tribulation is underway. So Matthew 24:21-28. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look here, is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For now he tells us how it would look like when he comes. He says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. So the Great Tribulation will bring about trouble as has never been seen before on the earth, where over one half of the world population will perish. This is described in the book of Revelation. Note that where it speaks of the elect here in verse 22 and 24, it refers to tribulation saints, Jews and Gentiles that come to Christ during the tribulation. This is not the church. The last two verses describe Christ's second coming at the end of this period. His return will be instant and visible. Note that this is not the rapture, but the second coming, when Christ returns to rule and reign with his saints physically on the earth. The carcass pictures apostate Judaism, Christendom, and the whole world system that is leagued against God and his Christ. The eagles or vultures typify the judgments of God, which will be unleashed in connection with the Messiah's appearing. So he then describes the events that will occur at the second coming. Matthew 24:29-31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great shout of a trumpet, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see here that there's going to be changes in the celestial bodies and on earth. Jesus will be coming in the clouds, and we all will see him. This is different from the rapture, where he will not be seen. Then the elect, or the believers, will be gathered unto him to Jerusalem from around the world. More on this in verse 40 and 41. What a sight that will be. Now Jesus summarizes this prophecy. Matthew 24:32-35. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say unto you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The fig tree here represents the nation of Israel. You can also compare this with the parable of the fig tree that are seen in the various Gospels. For hundreds of years, even a couple of thousand of years, almost now, Israel had been scattered throughout the world without a nation of its own. Then in 1948, Israel became a nation with its own land, its own government, currency, etc. Spiritually, the nation is still barren and cold. There is little fruit for God. But nationally, we might say that its branches are green and tender. This sign lets us know we are near the end. Summer is near, at the doors, as we read in verse 34. This generation, in verse 33, probably refers to the generation going through the Great Tribulation, who will see fully all these signs that Jesus is talking about. It could also indicate the Jewish nation will not pass away and will see these events take place. The Greek word genea, translated generation in English, could also be translated as nation or race. Then Jesus indicates that these events will surely take place. There is no doubt. His words will not pass away. They will occur exactly as he said they will. So we've seen a partial fulfillment of these events already. We await and expect the complete fulfillment. Jesus will now discuss the timing of his return. Jesus is coming back, and it will be very soon. We are to be ready. Keep your eyes open. The signs are before us. Jesus wants you and me to draw closer to him in eager expectation of his return. This is the practical aspect of knowing these things. Matthew 24:36-41. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. So no one knows the day or the hour, but Jesus has given us an indication of the season. It will be as in the days of Noah. Things will carry on as per usual, but most will be oblivious to the time, even as the people were in Noah's day. It is a dangerous thing to get absorbed in the pursuits of life, however good they may be, and that we forget that Jesus is coming back soon. This is a practical application that we see here. We need to keep looking for Jesus' return. The reference of the two men and the two women indicates that at the end of the tribulation, at Christ's return, some will be taken away to judgment and others will be left and gathered together to enjoy the blessing of Christ's reign on earth in the millennial kingdom. I believe, as do numerous conservative commentators, for example, Warren Wiersbe or William MacDonald, that verse 30 refers to the second coming and not the rapture. I should note that as I'm flying through this discourse, this study is intended as an overview. We could spend a lot more time on these verses. However, I do hope that I'm raising your awareness and whetting your appetite for further study. The intent is to give us a general framework to understand end times events, getting the big picture, if you will. Now, here is the main application to this prophecy. Watch and be ready. Matthew 24:42-44. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So reading these future prophecies ought to compel us to watch and be ready. We are to be watchful and look for these events to unfold. It should compel us with an excitement that Christ will come for us shortly and will be taken into the next phase of our existence, one in which will be a most wonderful time for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should also compel us to occupy till he come, especially in the work of sharing the gospel with folks that are around us. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this should compel you to seek him out, because the tribulation and or hell are not pleasant options. Seek the Lord today and be saved. Do not delay. So we are told many times in the New Testament to be watchful, not only in Matthew 24. This is a practical aspect of our studying prophecy. Be watchful. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is near, or the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Are you asleep or are you watching? May we all be found awake and watching. God has given to us a blueprint into the future. This encourages us to watch and wait for his return, and should also compel us to share the gospel with our acquaintances and neighbors before his return. John 14:29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word.